G'day Limestone Coasters, welcome to another catch-up. Here's what happened this morning on the Limestone Coast Triple M. You and Grant for breakfast. As we start the day, tragic news on the front page of the paper today when it comes to the Pioneers. Apparently, the Victorians have blocked the Pioneers. Mount Gambier Basketballers have been locked out of the Interstate League. We're going to talk more about it across the morning this morning, but it's making front page headlines. Now, on your local, starting the day, our heart starter is about to get underway. There is something pretty special in the heavens that's taking place as well that I want to tell you about in just a moment. It is going to happen in the next half hour or so. I know I'm being very cryptic.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M.
And a huge good morning to you wherever you are across the Limestone Coast this morning. It is 6:09. And starting the day today, some good news. 17 days after they underwent life-changing surgery, conjoined twins Nima and Dawa have left hospital, apparently, which is absolutely sensational news. Other things that are making news today include the fact that NASA is, as we speak, looking at putting another probe onto Mars. Now, Luke and Hugh Fernane this morning were talking all about it.
The American Space Agency is going to attempt to put another robotic probe on Mars.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be happening in about an hour's time. So it's going to be the first time in about 6 years, I think, that they're going to try and get a probe to land on Mars. They want to check out the surface right through to the core. And what's amazing is that it's travelled, 428 million Ks or something ridiculous like that. And it's currently travelling at like 19,000 Ks a second, and within 6 minutes going to slow right down to zero and land. And you know, then NASA's controlling this from here. Mars is there. Just phenomenal. So it'll be interesting to see how that actually turns out in about an hour's time.
Isn't that just spectacular to think about that sort of thing, that NASA is controlling this space probe and that, well, the boys were talking about an hour ago, so it's going to be in the next 20 minutes or so that this all unfolds on a distant planet in our solar system. I just think that's fascinating. Now on 963 Triple M, across the morning this morning, Hannah Rose Hamer on the team will, of course, tell us how that landing goes. You and Grant for breakfast. The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. We are less than a month away from Christmas Day. And how would you like $500 cold hard cash in the lead up to Chrissy? I can help out with the help of Clark Rubber, Mount Gambier Central, The Marketplace, Henry Post Jewellers, Red Gum Country, UFS Chemist, Cocky's Auto Pro, and a host of other local businesses from across the Limestone Coast. I'm giving you the chance to jag $500 cold hard cash each and every week in the lead up to Chrissy Day. What you need to do, you need to jump online to triplem.com.au/limestonecoast. From there, go to the win page. You'll find all the details on how you can have a chance to pick up $500 on me. And of course, all the businesses involved in the lead up to Chrissy. And a big shout out to all of them as well. You and Grant. Triple M. Now, as we wake up this morning, one of the interesting things to know about today, the Rook Walk turns 100 today, and there is a lot of really cool stuff going on. I'm going to tell you all about it right the way across the morning. But if you've got a couple of hours spare between 9 and 11 this morning, well worth taking a bit of a trip up to the Rook Walk because there's lots of great stuff going on. To find out what else is happening, well, it's time to catch up with Karcher.
Thank you, Ewan. Coming up in local headlines, Millicent Police are working to locate the suspect of a truck theft. The city of Mount Gambier will be celebrating the 100th anniversary of the iconic Rook Walk. The National Institute for Forest Products Innovation Centre in Mount Gambier has announced over $3 million in research funds, and grant recipients for Stanlake Stone's Small Community Grants Round have been announced. All of that in sport coming up soon.
I reckon Karch is going to send me a nasty email for stealing her thunder on the Rook Walk, but if you'd like to know more details, by the way, you can jump online to our Facebook page or to triplem.com.au. We've got details there of what's going on for the celebrations, the centenary taking place today.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. How much would you spend for a sandwich if you went to a local store? There's a cafe in Sydney that's selling a sandwich for $17, and at the moment there are a lot of people on social media who are talking all about this sandwich because it's not actually a sandwich, as you would think about it. It's a sandwich box, which means that the sandwich is deconstructed. It also means that you have to put the sandwich together yourself. So my question for you is, would you pay $17 for a sandwich that you had to put together yourself? And from there, the photo of the ingredients that are in this said sandwich include a strawberry. And I don't know of anybody who has ever put a strawberry into a sandwich, which is another reason why people on social media this morning are going a little haywire over the idea of a deconstructed sandwich. There are a lot of deconstructed, I suppose, meals that are around in Australia at the moment. It must be the new in thing at trendy cafes, but I'm not sure I'd be happy with it if it turned up on the table as a deconstructed sandwich myself.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
Hannah Rose is going to stop by. Residents in several central Queensland communities have been told to leave as a disaster zone is formally declared amid the escalating bushfire risk. This is one of the stories we're going to hear more about across the morning. One of the other stories that will dominate today, the world is on the edge of its seat with NASA about to attempt a seemingly impossible task, landing a speeding spacecraft on Mars. 7 minutes of terror for the NASA team. We'll find out more soon on Triple M.
You and Grant for breakfast.
Now, we're going to give you more details across the day today and tomorrow as well, but it seems that South Australian teachers have decided that they are going to go on strike on Thursday. More details will come. It's going to cause hundreds of schools across the state to close as thousands of South Australian teachers walk off the job on Thursday, hoping for better paying conditions.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M.
963 Triple M. Scott Morrison is in the news once again today. Unfortunately, Scott Morrison decided to blatantly snub a brand new member of Parliament, it seems. Yesterday, it was the first time that Karen Phelps had made her maiden speech in Parliament. And among many other things, Karen brought up some incredible key points about the ABC, about health policies, about climate change, asylum seekers, about Indigenous Australians, and about our very own political system, to name just a few. It's fascinating reading if you'd like to have the chance to take a look at it across the day today. She made some very interesting points, and hopefully she will be a fantastic member of Parliament in her maiden speech, at least in the House. It was great to see that she brought up so many fascinating points.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. We're getting close to seven. One of the things that has literally just happened, NASA's latest Mars lander, it's called InSight. It successfully touched down on the surface of the red planet, surviving an intense plunge through the Martian atmosphere that took about 7 minutes. It marks the eighth picture-perfect landing on Mars for NASA, and InSight's two-year mission, among many other things, is to listen for Mars quakes to learn more about the world's interior. Now, across the day today, you are going to find out a whole lot more about the two-year mission for InSight from the national news team, and your news feeds are going to be flooded with information about the landing of the brand new Mars probe. Now, on 963 Triple M, a lot closer to home, something pretty spectacular is happening here today as well. During the course of the last couple of weeks, I've been lucky enough to catch up with Denise Richardson, talking all about the Rook Walk. Now, today, the Rook Walk celebrates its 100th birthday.
That's right. Mm. And to get together and build the wall in that one day was just an achievement. And really, it was just after the war. And so it was a good celebration of those people coming together and having that celebration. So in a way, it sort of served two purposes. Because a lot of families lost members of their family, but of the community to come together and to help celebrate building something that meant a lot to them. So there's quite a few sort of deep meanings in the celebration of Rook Walk. As I say, it was declared a public holiday, and
It's going to be sensational today as the centenary celebrations take place. And across the morning this morning, we're going to find out a little bit more about it and, of course, how you can be part of it.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. This Friday, something pretty cool is going to be taking place. You can join me at the main corner this Friday from 12 till 3. Forget click and collect. Shop local and support local businesses that employ locals. Mount Gambier is going to be on sale. It's a perfect opportunity to shop local no matter where you are across the Limestone Coast. And it is all thanks to Panola Business Association, Arena Sports Store, That's Yarnies, Bare Necessities Lingerie, Canopy Interiors, Mango's Fashion, the Gambia Hotel, Food for Thought, DJ Interiors, and a whole host of incredible businesses from across the Limestone Coast. And we're going to have some goodies that are going to be up for grabs. Yes, giveaways on Friday. So make sure you join me 12 to 3 at the main corner. It's going to be absolutely sensational. Getting close to news and sport. Karch is going to join me soon. One of the things that's being talked about today, the Pioneers have put out a media release this morning. The Pioneers Big V application has been denied. We're going to talk more about that with Tom Koch.
The Limestone Coast's 963 Triple M.
It's the Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. I get to talk all about the kids' ward of the hospital today. I have the head of the health services here in the Limestone Coast, Nari Buchanan, on the line. Nari, good morning.
Good morning.
Nari,
how are you?
I'm good. We got the chance to chat probably maybe a month ago now and take a look at some of the works that are going on out at the kids' ward of the hospital. Can you take us through what's happening at the moment?
Sure. So we're really pleased to say that our playroom is near completion. We're just waiting for the final touches of painting and then that's all go. And then the next thing that we're going to be looking at is raising funds for our treatment room for our children. And that's really important to us because at the moment our children are having their procedures on their beds, and for children the beds need to be a very safe place. So we need to be able to have a space for them to be able to have their procedures elsewhere so they still feel safe.
Mm. No, how did the idea of sprucing up the kids' ward come about in the first place?
Well, when I first arrived here, I have had experience in children's hospitals before. When I was going around, I saw that we're giving really great care for our children in terms of the clinical care and support for the families. But what I did see was that we weren't giving what I called the extras for children, which make their developmental and emotional health needs were to be catered for.
Yeah.
Children learn very differently. They haven't had the life experiences that adults do, and therefore to encourage the play, which is part of their learning, was very important. And so I worked with the paediatric ward and the paediatricians here to say what did they think that they needed for making this a great place for our children and their families. So that's really where the idea started.
And Nari, looking ahead, you guys are hoping to do a whole heap of work in the paediatric unit. And as a result, there was a major fundraiser that was launched as part of the hospital ball this year.
Yes, it was. So we were very happy to have our superhero ball that gained us $14,000. We've raised just under $30,000 with a number of people, including Triple M, Give Me Five for Kids, contributing to that $30,000. And we've had two fold-out beds for our parents to stay in from the Rotary Club. We've had toys and games donated from the Good Start Childcare, and another a lot of people have actually just donated for that. We now need to look at the next step, and that is the future activities to ensure that we can get the treatment room started and other pieces of equipment for the children.
Nari, how important is it to have fundraising happen here in the Limestone Coast to make health services at the hospital better?
I think it's really important. Everywhere I've worked, including whether it's Sydney or Auckland, there has always been fundraising to add more comfort for the families, for the patients and that. So it's very important. It's part of our community. We feel that we are part of the community for Mount Gambier and the Limestone Coast, and therefore we want to provide the best care that we can.
So, Nari, how can people donate to the hospital, to the paediatrics ward, or to anywhere else in the hospital where they feel services can be improved?
Yes, so we have, with our Hospital Advisory Council, they're doing the fundraising for us, and that is through Maureen Klintberg, who's our presiding member. We're just putting information out to people how they can donate to that. We've got a ladies' lunch organised at the Apple Farm on the 7th of December, which if people would like to go along to that. And we've got a superhero raffle, which has got some amazing prizes which are going directly to the children. We have a number of different bits that we're talking to and fundraising for, which is, you know, renal. We've just had a donation from the Tennyson Wood College for bowel cancer, which is very important for us as well. And then also what we're doing is applying for a grant through Variety SA. So we're looking at every avenue that we can to try and get the funds for us to move forward.
Nari, it's great to talk to you this morning. It really is sensational what's happening out at the hospital at the moment, and I cannot wait to have a chance to chat to you again about some of the good new stories that are taking place in health services here in the Limestone Coast. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Lovely. My pleasure.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. It was probably about this stage last week that I was ringing Tom Kosh from the Pioneers to tell him that you, across the Limestone Coast, had voted the Pioneers the best sports team in the Limestone Coast. Today, we get to talk for a very different reason. Tom Kosh, good morning.
Morning, Ewan. How are you going?
I'm good. More to the point, how are you?
Yeah, look, been a difficult sort of 24 hours. Ewan, unfortunately, didn't receive the news that we were hoping for yesterday in regard to our application for Big V. Unfortunately, our application wasn't considered, and Mount Gambier still find themselves 14 weeks down the track without a league to play in.
As a result of being denied the Big V competition, what happens for the Pioneers now? I mean, you guys must be almost in turmoil.
We are. Look, I mean, it's been very difficult for our board. Our board's been dealing with this every step of the way for 14 weeks with no clear direction and no real support from Basketball Australia in the way that this has played out. Basketball Australia and Basketball Victoria present us the opportunity to play to make an application for Big V, which seemed to be a good way forward. It put us in the tent to obviously be able to reapply for Basketball Victoria's elite competition in 12 months' time if we could prove that we'd put together a competitive women's team. Although the application was submitted last week and we got a response early yesterday that Basketball Victoria weren't willing to consider or rewrite the bylaws to have an entrant of an interstate team into the competition. So it's hugely disappointing. A lot of energy has been wasted upon the direction of both Basketball Australia as well as Basketball Victoria to put together an application, and we've been completely let down again. And not only does it affect the people that are working internally on these political issues, it also puts a large amount of pressure on our players who have committed to us no end since the this process started, and quite honestly, they're sitting around waiting in the wings, rejecting offers from other basketball clubs in the hope that Mount Gambier are able to find a clear direction of where they will be playing next season.
If the Pioneers cannot find a league to play in next year, if the playing members of the Pioneers do reject other offers, will there be an opportunity for them to gain access to clubs even after the final decision is made? Or, I mean, are these people sitting here making decisions hoping that the Pioneers can get onto the courts next year without any further options if they say no to other clubs?
Look, definitely the opportunities do pass by quite quickly. I mean, most teams are doing all their work to put together their rosters for next season. A lot of them would do that prior to the Christmas break, and we are vastly getting quite close to that. Most teams will start their pre-season in early February and be working towards that. Doesn't leave a lot of time for Mount Gambier to put together a team, regardless of what league we put in or we find ourselves in, and it doesn't give our players much opportunity to reconsider any relocation or opportunities elsewhere. So we met with our players last night, gave them an update on the news that we received earlier yesterday. and we've been supportive of them sticking with us for the next 24, 48 hours until such time as we have a clearer picture of where it will end up for us, and we'll be able to address the community and the public about where the future lies. Mm. But we are asking for some immediate action from Basketball Australia in regards to our position, because it's unfathomable to think that this can happen to a basketball club that's provided a lot of joy and made their sport very good over a long period of time.
Well, Tom, we've been a bloody good club for a number of decades now, and a leader in the competition that was the Seabull. To think that we would be, I suppose the term would be, relegated to a league that was vastly inferior to the Seabull League is unfathomable to me.
It is, mate. Look, it's hard to think that we can be a club that was willing to do all that they could to remain at the top level of competition that was available to them. It was rejected when other exceptions were made for other teams within Seabull to be included within the elite competition. So hugely disappointing on that. But we'd actually worked with Basketball Australia and Basketball Victoria with the possibility of being entered into this to Big V competition, because we felt like it was a way forward. And we felt like it was a positive step in the way that we could still compete and continue to play with the idea that we could step up to the elite competition if the powers that be accepted us in 12 months' time or 24 months' time. It gave us a good base to work from. But that opportunity doesn't seem possible either. So we're hugely disappointed. We haven't given up the fight, but our options are extremely limited, and we're just doing all that we can to preserve the pioneers as best we can with an aim that we can advance to a higher level of competition at some point.
Tom, 9 times out of 10, we are very lucky to be in the position that we are in Mount Gambier, being between two capital cities. In this case, though, has that been to the detriment of the pioneers in the current struggle?
Look, I wouldn't have thought so. Mount Gambier has always tried to do what they can to compete at a higher level. We've been a respected member amongst our competitors for many years, regardless of how we've performed. We've always done things at a higher level, even in years that we were not as successful on court. Mm. We've done all that we can to provide a great sporting entertainment product for our community, and people loved coming to Mount Gambier to play, and it was a great benefit for all those involved within the sport that they could come along and play in front of 800 people to 1,000 people any home game. So I wouldn't have thought that wouldn't like to think that our recent success has probably been at our detriment of recent times, but I think that the value that a club like Mount Gambier does for young South Australians and the pathway that it's provided young kids to come and play at the highest level of a competition during the winter, there hasn't been a forethought by Basketball Australia of how actually important having a South Australian-based team is in this set winter premier winter competition.
Tom, it's got to be incredibly hard for you and the board at the moment. Hopefully we get the chance to talk in a couple of days' time and maybe hopefully see a glimmer on the horizon of some good news for 2019 for the Pioneers team.
Thanks very much.
Triple M Summer Beach House.
We're all going on a summer holiday.
The brand new Ruby Apartments on the Gold Coast. We don't do ordinary.
If you would like the chance to go, we're giving you the chance right now at Triple M. What we've got on offer is a chance at a family holiday for four on the Gold Coast. You get to stay at the Triple M Summer Beach House. We're going to hook you up with flights. We're going to give you 5 nights accommodation. We are going to throw in $1,000 cold hard cash for spending money. We're going to give you passes to Dream World. We're even going to give you another $500 cold hard cash to fill up the fridge. Head to triplem.com.au now to make sure you join to become a member of the Triple M Club. It's the only way that you are going to get the chance to get your hands on this fantastic prize. Triple M's Summer Beach House, the brand new Ruby Apartments on the Gold Coast. They don't do ordinary.
The Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.
Faith Jewelers, Red Gum Country, UFS Chemist, Intersport, Chapman's News Agency, Athlete's Foot, Atwood's Shoe Store, Petstock, Arena Sports Store, Panola Business Association, Hip Pocket, Metro Cafe and Bakery, Cash Zone and Ragnarok Gym are just some of the businesses involved in what is going to be a massive couple of days on the Limestone Coast. I am going to be at the main corner this Friday from 12 till 3. It's all about shopping locally and supporting local businesses that employ locals across the Limestone Coast. And it is all thanks to these businesses and a whole host of others who have all got together to perform something pretty spectacular. There are going to be lots of giveaways and there's going to be lots of savings on offer in the lead up to Chrissy. And we want you to be part of it. So make sure you listen out 12 till 3 this Friday as I broadcast live from the main corner. It is going to be absolutely massive.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. Well, the chance at $500 cold hard cash at the end of the week. Every week in the lead up to Chrissy, I am giving you the chance at $500. What you can do is jump online, triplem.com.au. Go to our win page. All the details are there. This morning, talking about the Stand Like Stone Foundation, Georgie McKay joins me on the line. Georgie, good morning.
Good morning, Ewan. How are you this morning?
I am fantastic. And Georgie, even better, because last week I got an email from you guys to say that you'd donated another $40,000+.
Yeah, just short of $50,000 as part of our latest small grant round. So giving that funding back to 16 projects across the region, which is really awesome.
What can you tell me about some of those projects?
Well, do you know, it was great. We're increasingly seeing a really good representation from across the Limestone Coast, which is what we want to see because we're the community foundation of the Limestone Coast. Mm. So a couple of them that I just think are terrific projects that I'd love to sort of highlight. There's one called Wagging School, which is not about wagging school, as the title would suggest, but it's a really neat little project where what they're trying to do is actually connect engage homeless and socially isolated and disadvantaged people with a sector that is crying out for employment. So it's conducting a dog handling course and getting these people along to give them some insight into the sector and what work in that sector might look like. Mm. So a beautiful, neat little project and also supported by heaps and heaps of donated time and energy. Like the person who's running the school is donating their time. The dog handling expert is donating his time. So, you know, just a lovely project that hopefully will result in some really good outcomes. So that one was awesome, I thought. And another one I'll touch on is an Arrowcourt-based project called More Than Conversation, which, again, a group of volunteers pulling together some conversational English classes for new settlers to the region. So targeting refugee and migrant people from refugee and migrant backgrounds and assisting them to learn basic English skills. And, you know, Ewan, one thing that struck me about this project is, you know, we go to fill out forms for our kids at school or, you know, go to do something with the motor reg department, and it's easy for us. But for new arrivals, it's not necessarily, particularly if you haven't got those basic English skills. So that project is just terrific as well.
And Georgie, the best bit about it is the scope of the projects, I suppose, that have gained funding from the Stand Like Stone Foundation this time around.
That's exactly right. You know, not only the depth of the projects themselves, because they give long-term sustainable benefits for this region, but the scope across the region and the differences in the projects that we saw. You know, some of them are really simple, really basic things that, you know, we take for granted, but they're intrinsic parts of our community that our community needs to function and to grow. You know, the Mount Gambier Toy Library, for example, we've provided some funding to refurbish their puzzle collection. You know, simple things like that, small community groups that don't have the funding to renew and regenerate. And when we provide them with this funding, it gives them a new lease of life. So it's really awesome.
Georgie, one of the things that I talked about last week was the Panola community, which seemed to be doing amazing things, raising funds for the Stand Like Stone Foundation. Is that something other communities can foster and grow and help out?
Yes, absolutely. So within our structure, we have sub-funds. So it means an individual community can raise funds and target those funds particularly for their community. And Panola Coonawarra do that really well. So they're probably our largest sub-fund. And they've got a group, a small group that have got together who are the advisory committee, who run fundraisers, and we refer all the grant decisions to them. So we go back to them and say, hey, what's really important in your community? And they give our board advice as to what should be funded. So it's really like they're driving their own destiny. And that opportunity is available to any community across the Southeast Limestone Coast for them to do the same thing.
Georgie, what's the best way for people to reach out to you to have a chat about helping out the Stan Luckstone Foundation?
Well, they can jump on our website. All the numbers and email contact details are there, which is just if you Google Stan Luckstone, will come up. And, happy to take any calls or any questions. We're always looking to grow this charity for our region because all the money stays here to benefit our kids and our future.
Georgie, it is always good to catch up for a chat. Thank you for joining us this morning. You have a great day.
Great. Thanks, Ewan. See you.
Ewan Grant. For breakfast.
Triple M.
It's a Lowestone Coast 963 Triple M. Time to catch up with what is going on at SAPOL at the moment. Stephanie joins me. Steph, good morning.
Good morning, Ewan.
Now, Steph, we've talked about cars being unlocked. We've talked about houses being unlocked. We've talked about needing to make sure that we have some level of, I suppose, responsibility when it comes to keeping our personal belongings safe. But on-farm safety is, I suppose, a bit of a different issue because farms can be absolutely huge. And at the moment, we've got some diesel thefts going on.
Yeah, that's right. There was some fuel stolen at Mayope over the weekend, some diesel fuel, which is just north of Panola. So we want to remind people on farms that if they can secure items such as machinery or fuel to do so, and also to be quite vigilant about any unusual activity about people or vehicles that they see in the area that they believe shouldn't be there.
Steph, it's obviously an issue of not only diesel, but tools from farms, stock from farms. We need to be as safe as possible on our farms as we possibly can and to do as much as possible to make our farms secure.
Yeah, that's right. And security is really the most important thing. And also just being aware of what's going on around you also plays a huge part. If there is somebody on your farm that you don't know, by all means, approach them, ask them what they're doing there, and you may prevent a crime in which you may have been the victim.
Now, Steph, for people who do have something go wrong on their farms, whether somebody's stolen something or anything else, you guys at SAPOL always want to know what's going on around the district.
Yeah, that's right. First of all, so we can investigate the offences, and then second of all, for the collation of information so that we can hopefully prevent more happening in the future.
Steph, always great to catch up. We will talk again soon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
The Limestone Coasts 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. Lost and found for you this morning. All thanks to Harvey Norman and Gambia. The biggest range and the best prices. We've got a poodle cross and a kelpie that have been lost in Mount Gambier. We've got a grey cat and an iPad that have been found in Mount Gambier. And for the details on anything across the Limestone Coast, if you've lost it or found it, or if you'd like details on our notices, give me a call, 87255155. We are so close to news and sport. Ray Hadley is coming in a moment, but between 9:30 and 11:30 this morning, there is big things happening at the Rook Walk and the Pepper Pot. Denise Richardson has been talking to us on the radio over the course of the last couple of weeks all about the Rook Walk and the centenary taking place today. Here is just some of what she's had to say.
We've gone back through and we've got quite a lot of history and people that have had families related that helped build the wall. And we've got little snippets of those. So on the day, which is the 27th of November from 9:30 through to 11:30, we're having a morning tea. And this is free to the public for everybody to come along. We've got quite a lot of schools participating on the day to come, and we would love the public to be down there. One of the really great things is that we've actually got the direct descendants of Arthur Rook. Now, Arthur Rook was the head chairperson of the Progress Association at the time, did a lot of the research of planning, got the money, and made this sort of happen. We had two ladies, which was very unusual in 1918, a Miss French and a Miss Warren, who came together and actually drew up the plans for the wall and for the tower. So Arthur Rook's descendants, so his son Andrew Rook and his two sons, so grandsons, are coming along. and to be part of this festivities, plus also Arthur Rook's two nieces. Now, they're coming from Melbourne and Sydney, so we're quite privileged to have the direct descendants of Arthur Rook being part of this celebration.
Denise Richardson talking to us on 963 Triple M, and today it will be sensational. 9:30 till 11:30 is when it's taking place, if you'd like to go along and be part of it. It's time for me to wander off. Guy is back this afternoon after 12. I'll be back tomorrow morning from 6.